character above all else. As Cape and Lipan High School Unified Flag Football Team accomplishment is a source of tremendous pride for the Cape School District, all of Sussex County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County Council commends the Cape and Lipan High School Unified Flag Football Team upon winning 2025 Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association Championship and proclaims Tuesday, December 16, 2025, as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor the team's remarkable achievement. Signed, Douglas B. Hudson, President, and Jane Gruenbaum, Council. Congratulations to the team.
Congratulations.
We appreciate you taking the efforts to come over today so that we can honor you. And I have a second proclamation here. Is there another team in the room? Again, we appreciate Seaford coming over and making the trip. This is a proclamation to honor the Seaford High School football team upon winning the 2005 DIAA Division 1A championship. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize Seaford High for winning the Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association title as Division 1A state champions for the 2025 season. The Seaford High School football team capped yet another impressive season and beat Clark Charter by a score of 21-20 during the state championship game on Saturday, November 29th, ending with a remarkable 12-0 record. The win marks their third DIAA state championship in school history and the first in the sport in 42 years.
Very nice.
The Seaford High School football team played as a formidable opponent in facing squads throughout the state during the 25 season, displaying cooperation, consistency, and character above all else. The Seaford High School football team's commitment is a source of tremendous pride for the Seaford community and all of Sussex County. Now, therefore, be resolved that the County Council commends the Seaford High School football team for winning the DIAA championship and proclaims Tuesday, December 16, 2025, day for all Sussex County residents to honor the team's remarkable achievement. Signed, Douglas Hudson, President, and Matt Lloyd, Councilman. Congratulations to the team. Thank you again, team, both teams, for coming
great
over
work,
and
people.
Letting us
record.
Yeah, really well.
Very impressive.
Now, if you would like to have a civics lesson and for the rest of the meeting, you're free to do so, or to dismiss and go back to the school buses. We can do that as well. And if you're going to dismiss now, we'll probably give it a few minutes, Mr. President, to the chamber get back to order.
Sure. So,
thanks again for coming.
Thanks, Gigi.
Coach.
Thanks, guys.
I can't believe they didn't want to stay and watch this. I would have been in high school. I was a nerd.
Great job, Coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be right at home.
See you, buddy. Isn't that neat?
So much testosterone.
That program has been on the ropes for a while. They have not done well for some time. Now they're back.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you for that.
That's great.
Pretty neat.
The girls play football too, not the boys.
Mm-hmm. They can play.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough. Yeah, yeah. Well, but they're at that age, they're pretty much the same. Yeah. And there isn't the size difference.
Okay, next on the agenda is public comment. Okay, now's the time for public comment. You'll have 3 minutes to comment on something the county council has clear jurisdiction over. When the green light comes on, you'll have 3 minutes. When the amber light comes on, you'll have a minute. And then when the red light comes on, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up. And first is Mr. Gary Forsheim.
Morning. Mr. Morning. President, members of the council, thank you for letting me speak. I want to briefly raise a procedural alignment issue, not a policy argument, and not a request for any particular vote. In recent change of zone cases, including CZ-2037 and CZ-2010, council adopted clear motions establishing a uniform self-executing process. 2 weeks for council questions, 2 weeks for agency responses, and 2 weeks for public and applicant comment, with deadlines tied to close of business. That framework is clear in the council minutes, and for residents who attended the hearing or reviewed those minutes, it was the only guidance reasonably available. As the process unfolded for CZ-2037, however, several observable events appeared inconsistent with those timelines, including a noticeable agenda change, the posting of an additional applicant materials after the date of public after the date the public reasonably understood the record to have closed, and those materials appearing before agency responses were announced. As a result, many members of the public sent emails seeking clarification. Those communications were not intended to challenge the process, but reflected the genuine confusion when events didn't align with what council stated on the record. As shown in the materials I have, planning and zoning correspondence to agencies didn't always mirror council motions exactly and added procedural conditions not adopted by council. I am not alleging intent or bias. I am simply asking council to ensure that future agency correspondence mirrors council motions exactly, that submission deadlines are applied uniformly to all parties. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Here's copies for.
Thank you. Next is Kevin Goldsboro.
Morning.
Morning.
So I'm Kevin Goldsboro. I reside at 668 Lighthouse Road, from Delaware. Real quick about myself, I served in the Delaware Army National Guard for 10 years, and I'm a veteran of the War of Afghanistan. I love our country, love our state. There's certain things about our state that I believe should stay the same, both officially as the way that we govern ourselves, and there's a bunch in the way of physical landscapes that are changing for the worse. I don't believe that Stephanie Hansen coming up with Senate Bill 159. I think she's out of touch with Sussex County, what the needs are down here, what the negative impacts of the offshore wind project would be. So I'll reiterate from last week. So my organization, we had gone through Chancery, Superior, and Delaware Supreme Court for the past 3.5 years. And we had some rulings there that would apply to this, where they decided, which was against us at the time, but good for you now, where they said the counties had the ultimate authority in land use decisions. So if they desire to reverse that decision now, our organization would then have the opportunity to appeal their previous decision. So they might not want to do that, and our law firm is HFK, which is the law firm that Jane Brady is a part of. So also important to refer to is what yesterday's ruling by the federal district court judge, who denied a preliminary injunction against the pulling of the offshore wind permits. This is no small thing. Early on in our case, we were denied preliminary injunction, and that rather set the tone for the negative direction that our case would go. So if the courts continue to be objective in that way, it would be to your favor if you decide to join Fenwick Island and Jane Brady in challenging Senate Bill 159. So we live in a constitutional republic, and it's not a democracy where those north of the canal can decide all the aspects of life down here. And you have the opportunity, if you join Jane Brady, to at least have a chance of looking out for the best interests of Sussex County to the best of that you know how. So if we live in a democracy, just the majority could, that's out of touch 100 miles away, could just, do things that make them feel good and that are
please wrap it up.
But by all means. So that said, if you sense a risk from any retribution from the state, that's a lose-lose approach. They are already
please wrap it up.
Okay, but there's more rewards to taking a risk than not joining Jane Brady. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Operator, would you check online, please, to see if anybody has a comment?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star. We have our first caller. Caller, your line is open.
Good morning. Jen Pulaski at 32886 Reba Road in Millville. Senate Bill 199 was passed late in the dead of night by 15 elected representatives in Dover with no public comment hearing. It doesn't seem fair that 15 elected representatives in Dover can decide for over 204,000 Sussex County residents without public input. Did the Office of State Planning Commission ever consult with and get approval from Sussex County for this substation or to make this point of interconnection for all of the offshore wind projects in the Mid-Atlantic? SB 199 bought time to allow a decision from the Maryland court system in the Ocean City case against the U.S. wind project, but we are still waiting for a ruling, and nothing has been decided there. Aren't we putting the cart before the horse? Senate Bill 265, the Climate Change Solutions Act of 2024, asks that offshore wind energy be a significant element of Delaware's energy future if the cost is competitive with other alternative sources of energy. We know now that offshore wind costs close to $200 per megawatt hour. PJM's average cost to the Delaware is $40 per megawatt hour. PJM is currently 5 times cheaper. The Public Service Commission in Delaware could not accept a next-day bid from offshore wind. The bill authorizes the State Energy Office, with the approval of the Public Service Commission, to issue solicitations to procure offshore wind. The State Energy Office drafts a solicitation for wind energy if it believes market conditions would result in a bid of no more than 110% of the Delaware benchmark price, which is defined as the average price that Delaware Power has paid for power and renewable energy compliance over the prior 3 years. It seems to me that U.S. wind would never be able to reduce the cost to the Delaware ratepayer. The term sheet agreement between former Governor Carney and U.S. wind is vague, unspecific, and based on future promises, unlike Exelon's gift to Delaware of $49 million to reduce ratepayer costs. What happened to the $49 million grant? The Inflation Reduction Act allows U.S. wind subsidies if construction begins by July 2026. Money is moving to holding companies now to be used for this project. U.S. wind will be moving February 1st if SB 159 and 199 are left to stand without challenge. I ask Council to stand with Fenwick Island and challenge SB 159 and 199. This is going to unleash an industrial boom on Sussex County, and you'll never see the natural beauty of Indian River again. Maryland is doing another impact study to see what climate change impacts would be. We're facing an energy and environmental crisis here, and U.S. wind isn't going to get us out of it. What's the next action step going to be, Council? Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, next, please.
If there is anyone else on the line who would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star. At this time, no one else wishes to speak.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close the public comment. Next up is the administrator's report. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Administrator's report for December 16th. Item one, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for November is attached, listing the number of violent crimes and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 193 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of November. Item two, per the Engineering Department fact sheet, Heritage Shores Phase 7A received substantial completion effective December 5th. Item three, please note county offices will be closed on December 24th, 25th, and 26th to celebrate the Christmas holiday and January 1st for the New Year's holiday. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 6th, 2026. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Next, Ms. Kristen McAfee. It's regarding the Medic Station 101 Lincoln Community Center and lease renewal. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of council. I'm here to renew the lease for Paramedic Station 101 in Lincoln with the option to extend the lease for an additional year after that. We have our project to build the new Paramedic Station 101 that'll be going to bid in January. We have a good relationship with the Lincoln Community Center, who is the landlords, and we are keeping them up to date on all of our progress. And we plan on continuing to do so.
Okay.
So I have a motion if...
Please give us your motion.
Okay. Be it moved that Sussex County Council renew the lease with the Lincoln Community Center LLC for Medic 101 in Lincoln for a period of 1 year with the additional 1 year extension.
Okay, pleasure of council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Mr. Bernabeau.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Now, County Engineer, Mr. Mike Harmer.
Good morning. I'm here to brief you on a change order for the General Labor and Materials Equipment Contract 2501. The memo in your packet explains the history of competitively bidding and the awards for the contract, which is consistent with county procurement policy. The current approved contract amount is at $5 million. We've recently evaluated our current ongoing jobs and the average monthly payments and the remaining work to determine upcoming costs needed over the original contract amount. The major ongoing jobs are the ocean outfall, which has required multiple emergency and urgent repairs down in Bethany Beach over the last few months, and the Kent Avenue pipe relining project also in Bethany Beach. And the work resulted in multiple sinkholes that were emerging. So to continue funding the ongoing projects and reallocate funds for the emergency work, the engineering department recommends a change order in the amount of $2.5 million. Therefore, the engineering department is requesting county council's approval for change order number one in the not to exceed amount of $2.5 million. The resulting contract will now be at $7.5 million. And I'll answer any questions, or I have a motion to read for your approval.
Please give us your motion.
All right. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, that fiscal year 26 change order number one for contract 2501, the fiscal year 25 general labor and equipment, be approved, which increases the contract amount by $2.5 million for a new total of $7.5 million.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Cornabell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Mark Parker.
Morning, Mr. President, council members. Back this morning with our Love Creek Mobile Home Community Septic Elimination Project following, we had a financing ordinance approval last week. So with the approval in hand, we've asked Johnson, Miramon, and Thompson, one of our on-call miscellaneous engineering consultants to submit a proposal to cover preliminary and final design as well as bid support services. So the engineering department has reviewed the proposal and has found it to be acceptable and reasonable, and we are recommending approval of the proposal. So I have a motion to read unless there's any questions.
Okay, please give us your motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number 4 of Johnson, Miramon, and Thompson's miscellaneous engineering services contract be approved in the not to exceed amount of $290,800.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
All right. Wishing the council a happy holiday season.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. You too, buddy.
Okay, next up, Mr. Hans Medlars. Oh, I'm sorry. Bob Bryant. I skipped over one. I'm sorry.
Mr. Bob.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Good morning, Mr. President, members of the Sussex County Council. What you have before you is another change order. This is change order number 2 associated with the construction of the parallel taxiway B phase 2 bid package 1 project in the amount of $32,033.34. Change order was necessary for additional work primarily associated with having to truck in new topsoil to meet FAA design standards for the project. There's not a whole lot of topsoil at the airport, we found out, and we needed to increase the volume of topsoil in order to get positive grass growth. There were some other credits associated with the project, with this change order. There was also an investigation into a disrupted fiber optic line that controls a portion of our airfield lighting, but it was later determined that work associated with that particular incident will be handed over to a future taxiway construction project. And I do have a motion.
Please give us your motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Department of Engineering on behalf of the Delaware Coastal Airport that the Sussex County Council approve change order number 2 in the amount of $32,033.34 for work associated with the construction phase of Construct Parallel Taxiway B Phase 2 Bid Package 1 project.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions on the motion? I want to know where the 34 cents comes in.
Yeah, that extra shovel of
dirt. Yeah.
Any questions? All right, hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next. Sorry, Mr. Medlars.
Mr. Medlars.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members. We got two members for you, and I think the complexity of the memory stands for the complexity of the project. And out of the wolf neck one, we actually removed the portion about the lagoon solar just to condense it down somewhat more. And the first piece is associated with the delays of the interaction between the different projects. And you had previously approved a Bancroft change order compensating the general contractor for their incurred expenses and delays like these, the overhead for offices, insurance, on-site staff, et cetera. They since then submitted a number of subcontractor claims. I reviewed them, and I only found two of them credible. And these two are moving forward. I'm recommending moving them forward. Bancroft agreed to have no markup or profit on these. That was a precondition of mine to move anything forward, you know, because I believe we shouldn't compensate them. We already compensated them for their overhead and expenses. So that's the one version. The other one is much more interesting, and I'm sure Commissioner McCarron carefully read all the RFPs. And they're quite interesting and intricate, and they have to do with the interaction on the electrical side between the existing system, how are we going to connect it and how are we going to backfeed it? And also our interactions with DP&L as well as with our own environmental services team. And I'd only like to highlight this one RFP, and you may find this interesting. The same number of conductors we connected to the same transformer at South Coastal with no objections by DP&L. There was one difference. The one in South Coastal we own, the one here they own. So once they came on site, we were ready to connect. Which stopped us and said, no go. Redo the conductors, fewer conductors on the termination, so we had to redo the whole thing while we're waiting. It was not a pleasant experience with our friends from DP&L, especially since it was approved initially. But anyway, so as you can see when you read through these RFPs, what triggered what on the electrical side. But we are in the home stretch. We're also on the home stretch with Denali on our sludge removal. And we had an update meeting yesterday with them. And we're almost finished with the primary lagoon, number one. And we will wrap it up this week. They're going to demobilize over the weekend. And we'll come back on lagoon two, which you had authorized to do Lagoon 2 because we're going to build our treatment plant in Lagoon 2. That brings me to the last step. The Lewis Board of Public Works voted last week to approve the agreement, which you will see in front of you in January. And now we know we will have a, no, I shouldn't say this, with your approval, we will have a project with the Lewis Board of Public Works at Wolf Neck. So I have two motions for your consideration.
Please give us your motions. Do we have to vote on these separately, Mr. Moore? Okay.
Yes. BB move, based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering, the change order number 8 for contract S24-10, Wolf Neck Regional Wastewater Facility Electrical Service and Switchgear Replacement, general construction be approved in the amount of $28,952.
Okay, any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Gornabout?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Second one, BB move based on the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 3 for the electrical construction be approved in the amount of $336,019.09.
Any questions on the motion? Pleasure of council. Sorry about that.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Greenbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, I guess only Inland Bay's construction can be more complex than the Wolf Neck one. So, just for the record, quick reminder, because of the time to take to get the permitting done, seven plus years, we are in this situation, I think. I think we should preface this. This is not by our choice what's happening here. This was out of our control. So we're doing pretty well. We have a number of projects started. If you can go down there, there's a good bit of activity happening. And when you look at the last page, this shows you what's left to be done. We're really whittling down the projects, and there's a few high dollar ones left. The conversion of the existing chlorination tank into our tertiary treatment facility, that's a big one left. And there's one site package left, but it's a very small one. So when you look at that list, there's some procurements are left, you know, that we buy another belt filter press, as well as the modification to the press building. So in general, so you'll see a few more million dollars come through, but with today's lift, I think we are definitely over the 50% mark by far. So the two before you today, one is the additional site package. You approved that in the change order number 6, and that had the original site package. As we add new features to the beyond the clarifiers, et cetera, so new site piping segments become part of that package. So you'll see that modification one more time. So that's the modification to the 06. And the other one is for the pump and blower building. That essentially mirrors what we have today, because you remember we're going to have the second aeration piece, so we needed the second pump and blower piece. And that is mostly on the pump side, because the wastewater, the recycle pumping and the waste pumping all goes through that pump station. So it looks, feels like South Coastal, and I just want to put this in first for the public. We have this hard bid in South Coastal for the same building construction. We look at that. I looked at the square footage. I scaled it. I applied the increases. So I have a pretty good idea what that should be costing. So I feel comfortable when I recommend these prices to you. The same for the site package. Ms. Jennings and I were discussing when I put together what I believe it should be. I was very, very close to the site package number. So whenever we bring this forward, there is a check and balance in the background, so I don't want you to think that we're just coming here willy-nilly.
I never think that.
If I may.
Please, give us your motion.
Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change orders number IB-011 and modified IB-006 for the Inland Bays Phase 2 expansion project be approved in the not-to-exceed amounts of $1,880,000 and $2,227,600, respectively, for construction of the pump and blower building and the yard piping package 2.
Okay, pleasure of council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second. Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, old business. We have one item. Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have one item of old business today, which is change of zone number 2001, filed on behalf of Bellmead Farm LLC. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C4 planned commercial district for certain parcels of land totaling 39 acres lying at on the west side, the 20033 John J. Williams Highway. Lewis County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held before County Council at its meeting September 16th of this year, and at the conclusion of that meeting, County Council held the record open for additional comment from state agencies and public comments, with the record closing on October 28th of this year, at which point it was deferred for further consideration.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C4 planned commercial district for certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 39.22 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning zoning number 1 through 16 and conditions 17A through S. And Mr. President, I do understand that there may be some proposed amendments for this.
That's right. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes, I do have some amendments to propose. Several, if I may.
Sure.
Begin.
You have the floor.
Thank you. The first one is, I move that the first sentence of condition B be amended by striking the words as offered by the amendment 10 and substituting in its place 15, such that the first sentence of condition B reads as follows: 15% of the units shall be designated as restricted units for purposes of providing affordable rental housing options subject to the following terms and conditions.
Okay. We need to vote.
They just need a second. She made a motion.
I made a motion.
You need a second for that.
That's right. We have a motion and a second on these amendments. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote on the amendments only. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion carried.
The second motion I have is I move that condition B1 be amended as follows: delete 10 and substitute with 15. Then later in the same sentence, after equal to or less than, add 80% of, and then striking an appropriate percentage of immediately after. The last sentence will then be stricken. The condition will read, rented restricted units for a period of 30 years following the date the last building with residential units in it receives a certificate of occupancy, 15% of the total number of units offered for lease, the restricted units shall be rented to tenants with a gross gross household income equal to or less than 80% of the area median income for Sussex County qualifying tenants, as established by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and updated annually for a rental rate adjusted for household and unit size as per HUD guidelines.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on this amendment? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
I have a third motion. I move that condition B7 be amended as follows. Delete 90 and substitute with 85. Then later in the sentence, delete 10 and substitute with 15. The condition will then read, in the event that more than 85% of the units are rented at market rate because fewer than 15% of the units are leased to qualified tenants, the applicant or owner of the project shall be required to pay to Sussex County the monthly market rate collected from any excess market rate units. Any such funds collected by Sussex County shall be used and administered for housing purposes by the Sussex County Office of Community Development and Housing.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion or on the amendment? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Motion 4. I move that condition N be amended as follows by adding a first sentence that reads, as designed by the applicant, at least 50% of the existing floor shall be preserved, and then by adding two sentences at the end of that read, in addition, as recommended by the Delaware State Forester by the letter dated October 13th, 2025, the preserved forest areas shall undergo a silviculture prescription by a certified arborist, certified nursery professional, or licensed forester, or forester designated by the Society of American Foresters as a certified forester to assist with understory establishment, the removal of poor quality trees, increased water uptake, and to increase habitat and overall forest health. A report shall be provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission following the silviculture prescription. Native plantings, as listed in the Flora of Delaware online database maintained by DENREC, shall be used in all buffers and pollinator-friendly landscape practices employed where possible. The condition will be amended as follows. As designed by the applicant, at least 50% of these existing forests shall be preserved. The final site plan shall include a landscape plan for the development showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design, including the buffer areas and woodlands that must be preserved. In addition, as recommended by the Delaware State Forester by letter dated October 13th, 2025, the preserved forest areas shall undergo a silviculture prescription by a certified arborist, certified nursery professional, or licensed forester, or forester designated by the Society of American Foresters as a certified forester to assist with understudy establishment and the removal of poor quality trees, increased water intake, and to increase habitat and overall forest health. A report shall be provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission following the silviculture prescription. Native plantings, as listed in the Flora of Delaware online database maintained by DENREC, shall be used in all buffers and pollinator-friendly landscape practices employed where possible.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Motion 5. I move that condition R be amended by inserting the following addition so that condition R, as amended, reads as follows. There will be off-site roadway improvements and a signalized entrance constructed to provide safe vehicular and pedestrian access to the development. Given the location and size of the development, the developer shall coordinate with DelDOT and provide a phasing schedule that shall establish the time frame and phasing of the construction of the commercial building, mixed-use buildings, residential buildings, and the construction of the off-site entrance and roadway improvements that DelDOT shall require as a result of the development. During this coordination with DLDOT, the developer shall inquire about the possibility of additional signalized intersections in the area. Additionally, the developer shall coordinate the phasing schedule with DLDOT such that the signalized entrance to the development shall be constructed and open to use prior to the issuance of the first certificate of occupancy for either the first mixed-use building or apartment buildings. The phasing schedule and the results of the inquiry about additional traffic signals shall be coordinated between the applicant and DLDOT, and it shall be presented by the applicant with DLDOT's concurrence to the Planning and Zoning Commission for consideration as part of the final site plan.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Mr. Lloyd, are there any questions?
I am trying to really get my head around this one. This is developers should coordinate the phasing schedule with DLDOT such that the signalized entrance shall be constructed and open prior to issuance of this first certificate of occupancy. I have a problem with that, but that is the only hallmark that we're going to require that be completed prior. Otherwise, we're going to basically delegate management of the
phasing
to DLDOT to handle in conjunction with the applicant.
That's the way it reads right now, if you'd like to.
Is that the limit of our ability to influence the phasing?
I have commentary about this, but I'll save it for my vote.
Hold on just one second. Mr.
Just to comment on the question or the comment from Mr. Riley, the way the motions from the Planning and Zoning Commission read also require a planning phasing schedule to be worked out by the developer and DLDOT to then be approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay.
Once
right.
It comes back to the plans.
That clarifies it.
So this would be in addition to that phasing requirement.
Okay. Yeah, that gives me a higher degree of comfort.
Okay. Mr. Lloyd?
Oh, I'll wait. That's fine.
Okay.
That cleared up.
Are there any other questions?
No.
Okay, hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Motion 6. Due to the proximity of this property to the environmentally sensitive wetlands of Dorman Branch, special designation considerations taking into account pre-development topography and anticipated bulk grading slopes are warranted. Therefore, in an effort to minimize adverse effects by the development process on the forested portion of the site, I move that we amend condition G after the last sentence and add the following. An enhanced sediment capture plan shall be prepared by developers, engineers, and submitted for review and approval by the Sussex Conservation District and the Sussex County Engineering Department. The plan shall apply superior sediment capture by taking advantage of the existing site topography by impounding the area closest to Dorman Branch using minimally invasive methods, thereby establishing an expanded floodplain. The plan shall take advantage of the existing topography by placing the phase one residential and amenity structures on the most level ground while designing a minimally invasive floodplain impoundment, allowing the expanded floodplain to remain in a wooded site. 3, the minimally invasive impoundment structure must incorporate a conveyance feature in accordance with the State of Delaware sediment and stormwater regulations. It must furthermore be fully stabilized prior to any subsequent land disturbance, and the remainder of the site must be temporarily and permanently graded to direct the stormwater runoff during construction as well as post-development to the operational impoundment area.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I will second that.
Second. Mr. Riley, are there any questions?
No, I'll just comment. I did have conversations with our engineer, and feel like this is the best thing. This is the right way to go. So, at least in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There are no questions. We'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
All done?
I'm finished.
Are that all the amendments?
For now. I mean, yes.
Okay.
At this time, Mr. President, I'd read the short title again as amended.
Please do.
Thank you. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C4 planned commercial district for certain parcels of land lying and being in Sussex County, containing 39.22 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 16, with conditions 17A through S, as amended by this council.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Are we voting?
No, we would have to move for adoption.
Oh, right. Move for adoption.
As amended.
As amended. Move for adoption, okay. As amended. Sorry.
Motion, Ms. Grunebaum.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. And any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum.
Thank you. Despite the amendments that I just proposed, and I appreciate their support from my colleagues, I still have serious, which I believe will improve this development meaningfully should it get approved, I still have concerns. And they center around three critical issues: infrastructure, safety, and precedent. As the first project to be approved under the C4 zoning district, this application is precedent setting. Council must find that adequate infrastructure exists to ensure that the development would not imperil the safety, health, and well-being of the county residents. Reasons given for approval or disapproval of this application will be a foundation for future C4 requests. Sussex County Code 115-83.25 defines the minimum district requirements for C4 commercial district. The second requirement in the code reads, the land shall be served by adequate existing or planned infrastructure. Much of the testimony received by expert witnesses, state agencies, and residents convincingly point to the failure of Bellmead to meet this code requirement as it pertains to roads. Namely, there's a flawed TIS. The TIS submitted did not include three large developments, the approved North Star or the proposed Atlantic Fields and Cool Spring Crossing. Nonetheless, DelDOT, in its response to council questions, stated that the developers of Atlantic Fields will be responsible for a critical intersection improvement, that of Mulberry Road and Route 24, to mitigate the increased traffic from Bellmead as well as Atlantic Fields. It is simply unacceptable to exclude a development for purposes of calculating traffic impact, but to include the development for purposes of remediating that impact. The TIS failed to consider the intersection of Route 24 and Tanglewood Drive, or the intersection of 24 and the center at Long Neck. The Capital Transportation Program, fiscal year 26-30, per the DelDOT response to council questions, quote, does not currently include an estimated start of construction or completion date for improvements planned for Route 24 between Love Creek Bridge and Indian Mission Road. Without those dates, the road will remain inadequate for an unknown length of time. The Love Creek Bridge is a potential choke point for all traffic on Route 24. Currently, the development phase for widening the bridge is assumed to be 2032. There are no dates for the engineering or construction phases. According to the Highway Capacity Manual, the road capacity at a level D for a two-lane road at 45 miles an hour is between 11,900 and 15,900. Traffic projection for Route 24 after completion of Bellmead is 18,000 trips, which exceed the daily capacity per the Highway Capacity Manual. DelDOT's own coastal corridor study shows Route 24 at capacity during off-season times. This data does not support a conclusion that the roads are or will be adequate to handle the increased traffic from this development. The school infrastructure is similarly insufficient with regard to capacity and safety. This development is adjacent or across the street from two schools, Beacon Middle and Love Creek Elementary. The Cape Hanlopen School District opposes any growth at this time and notes those schools are at or above capacity. The school district also raises concerns about student safety. Parents picking up and dropping off children already face dangerous backups. When you add, as this development would, a commercial area, you add an incentive for school children to walk to the stores, crossing traffic, heavy traffic, or walking alongside heavy traffic. The environmental impact raises other infrastructure concerns. This site ultimately drains to the Rehoboth Bay watershed. A development in this location that replaces permeable natural surfaces with impermeable built surfaces increases polluting runoff into Dorman's Branch, which feeds to Love Creek, and then to Rehoboth Bay. Goal 4.3 of the comprehensive plan states, identify and designate future development areas in a manner that protects the county's natural and cultural resources from adverse effects of development. Keeping our bays and waterways healthy is imperative to the health and economic well-being of Sussex County. At this time, in this place, this development dangerously burdens an already stressed road infrastructure, adds to existing threats to our waterways, imperils the safety of school children, and thus sets a poor precedent for future C4 applications. I vote no.
Okay. Mr. McCarron.
In considering this application, it's important to remember the numerous conversations we hear about workforce housing availability near the main source of employment in the county. One of the main goals of the recent working group we formed was to address the shortage of affordable and workforce housing, which resulted in a recommendation of permitting missing middle housing types, such as apartments and townhomes, and this application does. Mixed uses also support reducing traffic by offering the ability to shop and get services without leaving the neighborhood property. This application does not represent opportunities for people to retire here and reside on this property, which could be described as overburdening of our resources. This application serves to provide housing for current residents of Sussex County and allows more opportunities to live where they work. We cannot shut out opportunities for current Sussex Countyans to have housing near their employers. The east side of the county should not be shut down to working class residents. Earlier in the meeting, we applauded two high school sports teams for their efforts on the field. We should not dismiss their ability to afford to live within an hour of a job on the east side of the county. Regarding infrastructure, this is a planned growth area identified by the county and the state over a decade ago. This application will be a large contributor to the Henlopen TID, an area we all agree needs additional funding and improvements. While many communities were built adjacent to this application and have contributed zero to road improvements in the TID, this application will help fund the many requests and improvements we hear about. Today I'm voting to provide housing opportunities for individuals that grew up here and work here, and to provide an opportunity for a shorter commute to work. Based upon the testimony heard during the applicant's presentation and the recommendations of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Okay, well, I had an abridged version of comments, but just based on some stuff I heard just now, I'm gonna go with a long form version, so settle in. I just wanna say, for people in the audience, people in the public, and my colleagues, I've absolutely heard every comment, be it positive or negative, towards this project. I've read every email in support or opposition to Bellmead. This is obviously a difficult position where we have to balance the testimony, the written record, the law in the form of land use code, and even the Constitution. And I preside over this with a lot of consideration and understanding of everybody's opinions. I ran for council on one core idea, which was to stop growth out of the farmland, keyword being out of the farmland, and make sure it goes where infrastructure either already exists or is planned to be built. That's the standard I'm held to, and that's the standard I use to evaluate every project. This project sits exactly where growth should go, on a major collector with direct access to an arterial road. It has schools, hospitals, police, and paramedic services, which were all recently built and have capacity to serve the community. And we can talk about the numbers. This is not a leapfrog development out in a rural field. This is where planned, centric growth in an area mapped for commercial and mixed use is in our comprehensive plan. Most of the opposition's comments during the hearing boiled down to traffic. The roads can't handle it. I absolutely hear them. But from my perspective, this is just what the record actually shows. DLDOT and multiple state agencies have planned and budgeted major Route 24 improvements through the Henlopen TID with a significant sum of $375 million, over 40 priority intersection upgrades all surrounding this area, which are projected to be built out between 2027 and 2032. Along with road front improvements with multiple avenues of approach into the project site area. It doesn't just go through the Love Creek Bridge. DLDOT saw this coming, and if you notice, that's the same 5 to 7 year timeline that it would take for Bellmead to be built. This site's tied to off-site improvements, additional turn lanes, crosswalks, multimodal transportation with bus options, along with an entrance that must be constructed before the first certificate of occupancy is issued, which isn't projected until at least 28 to 2029 timeframe, which again aligns with DLDOT's timeframe for the TID improvements. Now, if Route 24 improvements were not planned, funded, or coordinated, I would not be making this comment. But they are, and Bell Mead's build-out timeframe aligns with those improvements. Approving this project in the right place, on the right corridor, with enforceable conditions is exactly the way that we manage growth responsibly. Now, as far as the farm goes, I don't like to see any farm be tilled over. I really don't. However, this landowner has committed to selling, and they exist within a growth zone. The public infrastructure, the public service infrastructure exists, and road improvements are planned, and the project delivers critically needed housing, to Steve's point, including units affordable to local workers, as well as jobs, both temporary and permanent. In the grand scheme of things, that does keep people closer to where they work. And for that reason, and I know this is a difficult concept, that actually reduces traffic off the main corridors feeding into the beach area, because they're locally, centrically located. There are enough objectively true factors here that compel me to see this as smart planning. It aligns with a comprehensive plan. It's everything we've identified throughout our efforts this year with the work group, the state's directives, and it aligns with DLDOT's funding and timing. And that's why I'll be voting yes, based on the testimony, the material facts, and the recommendation by PNZ.
Okay, Mr. Riley.
Well, clearly this has been one of our more difficult applications to consider. However, I believe my colleague, Ms. Grunerbaum, has summarized the situation pretty accurately. I don't necessarily agree with her on the environmental aspects. I have a lot of confidence in the Conservation District to be able to mitigate those considerations. But if anything, I actually believe she may understate the issue with the with traffic. The reason this project has been so difficult is because Ken has done a wonderful job of checking all the boxes and delivering a project that is pretty much what we have asked them to do, where we've asked them to do, but the one box that they are unable to check is the box that the state has to check, and that is the roadways. And I can't in good conscience support a project that is going to overburden even further roadways that are pushing the limits, if not overburdened currently. And on that basis, I agree with the comments of Ms. Grunenbaum, and I'm voting no.
Okay. Right. This is exactly what the land use working group met for several months, and several different meetings is exactly what they asked for. This is in TID, and we will receive the funding transportation improvements immediately. It's in state level two. They have agreed to save a significant amount of the forests. And Route 24 just got improved right there. And I also agree with Mr. McCarran's points and Mr. Lloyd's points, and I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Grant request, Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Cape and Lupin Girls Basketball Boosters. They're requesting $750 for their Beach Slam project. Funds will be used for the operating expenses. There are no previous grants to this organization. Ms. Grunerbaum placed on the agenda.
Okay, on this one, I have spoken with people from this group, and further conversation led to the request of more, so I will grant $1,000 from District 4's account to this program.
I'll grant the $750. What do they want?
They asked for $750 initially, but I spoke with a couple members of that group, and they asked for they upped it to $1,000. So I would motion to grant $1,000 from District 4's account.
Okay.
Have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunenbaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarran?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunenbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next one is Good Samaritan Aid Organization is requesting $1,000 for their annual Christmas basket toy outreach project. Funds will be used to purchase toys and gifts for financially disadvantaged families. Last grant received for this project was the amount of $1,000 from Mr. Vincent and Mr. Lloyd placed on the agenda.
Mr. Lloyd?
I'd like to fund it for the amount they asked.
Okay, what was it?
$1,000.
Yes, we have a motion, Mr. Lloyd, to grant Good Samaritan Aid Organization $1,000. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Ms. Grunenbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Right. And then the last one is Purity Laundry Project. They're requesting $2,000 for Give the Gift of Clean Clothes Project. Funds will be used to provide under-resourced families free laundry services at local laundromats. There have been no previous grants for this organization. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley?
I would like to grant $1,000 from my account, please.
Mr. Riley makes a motion to grant $1,000 to the Purity Laundry Project for their clean clothes. Okay, Mr. McCarron would like to add $500 for a total of $1,500 to the Purity Laundry Project. Is there a second? That's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, so that's a total of $2,000 now. Okay. We have a motion to grant $2,000 to the Purity Laundry Project. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunenbaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunenbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next is the introduction of proposed ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We only have one today, and it's Councilwoman Grunenbaum's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district to amend condition K of conditional use number 2583 of ordinance number 4003 to allow for year-round outdoor storage to remain on the property as part of a campground for the unhoused to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 7.16 acres more or less.
I'll introduce.
Mr. Grunenbaum introduces it.
That's all, Mr. President.
Okay. Thank you. Next,
begrudgingly,
council member comments. Council member comments.
I don't have anything.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss land acquisition and pending litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session.